This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
That's a thinker.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I don't know if you've heard, but Nyheim Hines does appear to be out for the year. He's on your brother's team. Is that a possibility for you, Dalvin?
That'd be a sign, but not off the picture for me to go play that with.
Okay.
Today's guests: Open Championship winner Brian Harmon, host of Pro Football Talk Mike Florio, TCU head coach Sonny Dykes, comedian Jim Gaffigan, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Yep, we're live in Los Angeles, California on this Tuesday, the 25th in 2023. It is a it's quite a day here in L.A. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I just want to jump in just to start this program real quick with the news that broke about 45 minutes ago that kind of paused my entire morning. Hit the pause button on that. Bronny James, the 18-year-old son of LeBron James, Savannah James, had a heart attack, it appears, during practice at USC basketball yesterday. It required him to be rushed to the hospital. He spent some time in ICU. He's in stable condition right now. But just to hear an 18-year-old kid having a heart attack in the middle of practice and with so much promise, we can only hope that they find out the cause of what happened, and it's something that is fixable, and it is something that Bronny James can just go about his business of trying to be as great as he can be and keep the arrow going straight up. But I just can't believe what I heard, and I just wanted to start this program by sending all of our best to the way of the James family.
Yeah,
doesn't matter if he hears it or not. I just wanted to say that into a microphone. And leave it at that, as opposed to all the speculation you see right now on X, whatever the hell they're calling it now, and everything else that you're reading about his future and things of that nature. It's an 18-year-old who needed to be hospitalized and, who knows, potentially resuscitated, a heart attack for Bronny James. Good Lord. So we're sending our best to him. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Chris Brockman, once again, is out of his chair. Mike Del Tufo is all by himself over there. Good to see you over there, DJ Mikey D.
Good morning, Rich.
And TJ Jefferson, the candle's already lit in your direction. Good to see you over there.
What's up, fellas?
We've got four guests all over the map. We've got Open Championship winner Brian Harmon, who just is coming back from Royal Liverpool with the claret jug in hand. And we'll talk with him about his dominant performance from the second round of that tournament on and holding on to the claret jug and not giving up and winning by six strokes in Royal Liverpool. So we'll chat with him. Then in hour number three, in-studio guest Jim Gaffigan will be here. He has a new comedy special out called Dark Pale, available today on Prime Video. Jim Gaffigan, the conversation that I have with him in hour number three of this program. Before him, Sonny Dykes, the head coach of TCU football. Enough time has passed between last New Year's Eve and now. I'm able to talk with him after he curb stomped my Wolverines on the way to going to the national championship game against Georgia. His first game that's coming up about a month plus from now against Deion Sanders and Colorado. And Sonny Dykes has a new quarterback. As we all know, Max Duggan is now a Los Angeles Charger. One of eight TCU Horned Frogs drafted. And of the eight, I guess he's going to be spending some time here if he wants to see some of his former players. Five of them drafted by a Los Angeles team.
Okay.
Either the Chargers or the Rams. So
TCU West.
And then Mike Florio will be first up here on this program. First up in hour number two on this program from Pro Football Talk. So he will be joining us to talk about the news involving Saquon Barkley today. We have been following the plight of running backs trying to get paid in a manner associated with their importance on the field. That is normally a way of paying players who are important for winning on the field, getting paid elite top dollar. Wide receivers, quarterbacks, left tackles, pass rushers. And when they perform on the field, when those guys perform on the field, and even if they are of advanced age and they're performing on the field to the tune of numbers you would think are posted by a 20-year-old quarterback like Aaron Rodgers pushing 40, looking great. You're like, I don't know how much longer he can play, but he can keep playing. Let's pay him like he's an elite player. Wide receivers, somebody who's over the age of 30 and trying to do well, we're just sitting there thinking, okay, He's avoiding the rigors of the NFL. He's got the fountain of youth, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Von Miller's got the fountain of youth, doesn't he? So let's pay them like they're elite players, but not running backs. Those guys, when they put numbers up, 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 yards, you're sitting there thinking, well, how much longer can they do it? We got to go get a young guy. And we're not paying them either. So the latest from today, Saquon Barkley, it does appear, swallowed his pride and decided to come in from the cold and report to Giants training camp on time. And what was the deal sealer was the fact that the Giants decided to put a little something extra on top of his franchise tagged contract. What is a $2 million signing bonus? So they decided to give him two of his 10 in the form of a signing bonus. You get it. You sign your contract and you get that money right here, as opposed to having your money parceled out week to week throughout the season. And guess what? There's an incentive clause in there of about $909,000. He gets $303,000 if he reaches three different benchmarks for his season in rushing yards, touchdowns, and catches. And you might sit there and think, okay, that's chump change compared to, again, what Saquon wanted. And in all fairness, the Giants rejected. Apparently, a $13 million contract per year was on the table, and the Giants reportedly, again, Mike Florio coming up in hour number two, said, if you reject this, we're not putting it back on the table. And it does appear that they were true to their word. They didn't. Or didn't guarantee enough in the future years enough for Saquon to agree to it, and then the franchise tag, as we know, gets slapped. It's applied on players who don't mind, and it's slapped on players who do. And so the Giants essentially give Saquon a little bit of something, and it's a rarity what they did. The last time a player who could just have to play on the franchise tag got a one-year deal plus a little something extra on top of it was when Edgerrin James got this deal from the Colts in 2005. They gave him an opportunity to make a little bit more. So this is something the Giants are putting together out of the Bill Polian playbook, it appears. And to me, this has the feeling of Saquon having to swallow his pride a little bit here.
Yeah.
Because you look at the incentives. 1,350 rushing yards. He's never reached that in his career. The closest he's come was last year, 1,312. His rookie season, 1,307. In between that, 1,003 in his sophomore year, if you will, second year, and then the injury marred 2020, and then the injury shortened 2021. 11 touchdowns. He's only done that once, his rookie season. Last year he had 10. Those are the only multiple touchdown, double-digit touchdown seasons for him. 65 catches. The only time he's done it was once, his rookie season, 91 receptions. That's it. So he's got to have the best year of his career.
Essentially.
To get this. And it just has the feeling, again, of having to swallow his pride to take this. Because the guy we saw on that podcast, the Money Matters podcast, 1 week ago yesterday when it came out, and he said on this pod, I could say F it, F the team, F my teammates, and hold out. And that's an option for me. And it was just so out of character for him, the Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate for the Giants last year, to say those words into a microphone. Today, you see the real Saquon, the guy who is a baller, who doesn't want to sit at home, who is a football player and a teammate and somebody who wants to dominate. And if he gets a little extra cash, a little face saver coming in, he doesn't want to sit ATC at the crib. He wants to be with his teammates. He wants to be with the Giants when they open things up at East Rutherford today. He wants to be on time. He doesn't want to be a holdout. He doesn't want to have that on his resume. That's the guy. And the Giants can say, hey, we did something nobody's done since 2005. We're going to let you wet your beak a little bit. But to use another Godfather phrase from Godfather Part 2, this kind of has the feel of one of the Rosado brothers giving Frank Pantangeli a $100 bill to commemorate their meeting. And Pantangeli told him, I don't like the C-note, Rosado. That's what it kind of feels like to me.
Let's get them all. Let's hit them all now while we got the muscle.
That's what it feels like to me. They gave him a C-note. And he's like, I don't kind of like it. But I'll walk in. We all know what happened next. Spoiler alert. But. But. Saquon's there. And general managers across the rest of the league. Ownership across the rest of the league. Find out what type of cigar Joe Shane likes to smoke, if he does. What red wine or white wine he likes to imbibe, if he does. What beer he likes, if he does partake in that. And send it to the Giants facility. Because this guy held the line on the running back market with arguably the best running back in the league. And a face of his franchise. And he's paying him one quarter of the amount, minus the incentives, if they are reached. One quarter of the amount he gave to his quarterback, who did it only once now since being drafted out of Duke. And whose tremendous season, Daniel Jones, can be ascribed to three people. Number one, himself. He did it. He had it within him. He had to find it. Number two, Brian Daboll, the coach of the year, who helped unlock it. And the guy who signed the contract, Daniel Jones, and the guy who is coach of the year also, because both of them succeeded with one another, couldn't have done it without number 26 also. And he's the one who's got to eat it. It's a heck of a meal, though. $11 million if he does meet all the incentives. It's a great meal. We would all sign for that. But when you compare it to the rest of the league and players who are as good as Saquon Barkley on the field and then, of course, in the community, it feels like the C-note. And a high hat, to use another phrase from the movies, a little Miller's Crossing for you right there. This is something that the running backs, when they zoomed over the weekend, certainly didn't want to have develop 2 days later, is Saquon signing for this. But Saquon's got to do what's in his gut and in his heart, and that is to play football while he can at the high level that he has. But the Giants, one more phrase, to salute. We lift the glass in their direction. They held the line on the running back market. And again, the one guy who I believe can bust through on this, it's going to take a while. I mentioned yesterday, is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is pushing 30. If he starts at age 30, when he turns it in January, right, and he's still now having potentially a humongous season for a team that everyone is overlooking and can take thanks to, in large part, his production to the playoffs, and then do it again at age 31 and age 32, and then maybe sign somewhere else if the Titans think that's enough for him, and then go ahead and do it like Frank Gore, deep into damn near his 40s, and somebody of his stature will then run to the Hall of Fame, where I think Frank Gore should go anyway. But this guy is the guy who can basically say, you need to pay me at age 30. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I'd love to know what your thoughts are. I mean, we've been pounding the table on this thing. I mean, Josh Jacobs, what happens with him? And then, of course, what happens with Dalvin Cook, Zeke, and everyone else that's without a job at the running back position? We'll put this thing to bed and start playing football, just like Saquon just did.
Yeah.
Brian Harman, the Open Championship winner, fresh back from Royal Liverpool, calling into this show. There is you as well. Mike Del Tufo brought some mail from home that I cannot wait to open up on the air.
What?
That's called a tease.
Hell yeah.
Mike Florio, I've got the top five training camp storylines of 2023. We've got also Sonny Dykes of TCU football and the hilarious Jim Gaffigan on this Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on Roku and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, and more.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're still here on our Roku feed for the moment. Our radio audience will return in just a little bit less than 2 minutes' time, and that's when we'll say hello to Brian Harman, the Open Championship winner. Jerry is talking today with Stephen Jones, Mike McCarthy. They're in Oxnard, pal.
I know.
They're up the road.
Not too far.
Well, you know, all you got to do is just go to Nobu Malibu every night, and you'll see him there. You have to go all the way up to Oxnard.
Oh, you can do that. Split the difference.
Split the difference.
Got to get into Nobu, though.
You just have to get in.
That's the problem.
I mean, there's a parking lot. You know, you could hang out.
It's a parking lot.
There's a parking lot in Nobu.
I got a nice long lens with a camera.
I've never been to Nobu, Malibu, actually.
Oh, that's so great.
Phenomenal.
You want to go?
Of course.
You have to leave your house, though.
Phenomenal.
You know, I do occasionally leave the crib.
Well, I mean, to come here. Outside of that, though, what do you do?
He does things. He just doesn't tell
us. When was the last time you left your house not for this?
Sunday.
Yeah.
You realize it's Tuesday. So Monday you just came to work and then went home.
I went home, yeah.
Okay, that's a typical day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So, but I went out Sunday.
Are you going out tonight or are you going home?
What's today, Tuesday?
Yeah.
I don't have any plans yet.
Okay, so then now we're on Wednesday. See what my point is? You got to leave your home.
If I had something to do, Rich, I would leave. Like if you say, TJ, you want to come to Nobu Malibu with me? No, of course I'm going to be like, heck yeah, let's go.
Okay. Nobu's good.
Yeah, I can't do it tonight.
Oh, of course not.
We should do a Nobu.
We should?
We should do a Nobu.
Will you pay for it?
Yeah.
Were you really?
100%. I'd pay for it. What do you think?
I thought you'd TJ be like, knows? I thought you'd be
how
like
how
the,
can you say TJ knows? I've never had dinner with you.
You'd be like what? That alligator in the Geico commercial.
No. That's you even this have guy. That drop. That's this guy. The plus one Brockman? Of America. Please, he has plus one. America's plus one on his license.
Remember, got short arms and deep pockets.
Remember he lost a bet in like the first year of this show? Was it Chris who bought the sports drink but went for like the $2 sports drink and it pissed off Brockman? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He just won the Open Championship and he did it and crushed it. And we are thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show a champion. Fresh from Royal Liverpool for the first time on this show, Brian Harman on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Brian?
Fellas, how we doing, man?
Nice to meet you,
Brian.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. So, where have I found you? Where are you? No,
I am in upstate New York at Skinny Atlas Lake.
Okay.
My wife's from Syracuse.
Okay.
She's been renting a lake house here the last few years, and every now and then I catch a year when I get to come and hang out with them for a little while, but I'm up here now and soaking it all in, man.
Did you bring the
soaking it in?
Is the jug with you? Is the jug there?
It is. It has been. I haven't let it get outside of arm's length since they handed it to me.
So
it's sitting right here next to me.
Is it really? Okay. I can sort of sense it, Brian. I can sort of feel it through the phone.
It's got its own aura.
You describe it for me. What does it look like to you? What is it?
Very shiny. Okay. The intricacies of the engraving are. Until you get right up next to it, you can't really. It's hard to appreciate how much handiwork has gone into the thing.
So
it's a real piece of art. It's awesome.
Is it like the Stanley Cup where they replace the bands on it as the years go on, or like, so what's the oldest name and year that's on the jug, Brian?
Up here around the lip, I'm seeing an 1890.
Damn.
That's pretty wild.
Wow.
1990.
Wow. Fan.
So hopefully this Georgia redneck getting the first one to lose this trophy. God knows how many years.
Have you taken a sip of anything out of it yet? Have you done anything like that?
I sure have. It'll fit about 4 pints, we found out at the bar afterwards.
Okay. Okay.
It's 4 pints. But I got it here, and we were going to pour some beer in it last night, and my wife looked at it, and she's like, oh, my gosh, it is so dirty in there. So we're going to give her a scrubbing this afternoon, and then I think we might imbibe a little bit more this afternoon.
Okay, did the Royal and Ancient give you cleaning instructions for the claret jug?
No, it's I almost had the same feeling, when you – when I had my first child and they let you leave the hospital, you're like, wait, someone's not coming with me. I don't know what to do. They just handed me this case to take it on the airport and just, baptism by fire.
I love that. It's a great analogy. I've got 3 kids because they don't give you a manual when you leave the hospital with your firstborn. Brian, they don't give it to you.
No, and who practices putting, the kid in the damn in the car seat? You got nurses and everyone's breathing over your neck. Like, man, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I didn't practice for this.
So does the jug have its own seat then? Did you have to put one in the back of your car facing it away from the from the driver?
So they give you a case. I had to check it. I had to make 2 connections with the checked claret jug. And you're just like, well, here we go.
What? Wait a minute. You had to check the jug? That's not a carry-on item? Come on.
Check. Well, the first plane that I'm on is from Manchester to Amsterdam.
Okay.
And it's a little bitty regional jet. There's nowhere to put it. You can't carry it on. The box they give you where the thing has got the – it's like I think the Stanley Cup's got its own carrying
– Yeah.
case you can't fit it anywhere.
Wow.
you wouldn't know what it was. Thank goodness.
So then where did you land in America then? Where did you eventually land?
So my route was Manchester, Amsterdam to Detroit, Detroit to Syracuse.
Okay. So you're at the Syracuse airport standing at baggage claim hoping the claret jug comes out. Praying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, luckily, I mean, now Delta's great with their bag. I'm like, hey, it made it onto the airplane, so I should be coming out here.
That's true. Okay, yeah, you did. You do get an app update. Your jug is on.
Yeah. Just sitting there sweating.
Brian Harmon, this is amazing. This is amazing, and I think so many.
You land in Detroit, and you gotta get your bag. You gotta clear customs to get your bag,
right?
And they're like, "Oh, are you bringing anything extra home?" Like, yeah, I am.
You declared the claret jug when you got back to America. So you said,
"You bring anything?" I'm like, "Man, if you only knew what was in the damn bag."
Brian Harmon, Open champion here on the Rich Eisen Show. So that big second round for you, did you wake up feeling any different than any other day, or you just had some sort of clarity? And obviously you're known for your putting, Brian, but this was particularly special on that Friday.
Yeah, my game's really been rounding in the form. Everyone sees when you're really successful, but the success happens in the trenches. And I've been grinding. I've been working been working my tail off last couple of years trying to get my game as good as I can for as long as I can. You know, you get to this point in your career, you're like, man, I'm 36. Haven't won as much as I should have. Had a lot of top tens. I've had a great career, but I have not done the things that I want to do. Like, I just had like a conscious effort to really buckle down and to see what I could do. So I knew that my game was trending, especially the last month or so. Mm-hmm. Just been playing some really good golf. So that course, I really enjoyed Hoy Lake. It was my first Open Championship back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And I was really excited to get back this year. So I knew my game was in a good spot. But, no, I don't ever wake up, you know, I don't ever wake up like, oh, today's the day. It's usually you just get done. You're like, damn, I played pretty good. That was good.
Do you have those moments in the middle of a round, though, where you're like, okay, the hole looks like the ocean right now? Do you have those thoughts or you don't?
It always just seems kind of to be like the byproduct where you kind of look up and you're like, well, I'm 400 or 500 through 12 holes. Mm-hmm. But usually the kiss of death is when you start realizing like mm-hmm. how well you're playing. Like, oh, it's kind of like if you're on a run, you know, in blackjack or something, like, man, I haven't lost a hand in a while. Like, you know, when someone's lining up an extra point, oh, this guy missed an extra point in 90 something tries. I mean, it's like, it's the kiss of death.
Yeah.
So it's just good to kind of stay in the moment, execute. And I did a really good job of that last week.
Although, please tell me the story about the heckler on Saturday after you took that big lead. You did the third
hecklers,
one.
Well, lots of them.
Yeah, walk me through that if you don't mind. What happened?
Well, I played with Fleetwood. He's a local guy over there, and Fleetwood's a nice. Him and his caddy are two of the nicest people that you'd ever want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
His fans are brutal, man. They were rooting him on, and I'd make a bogey, and they would cheer, and had guys all day Saturday. You know, the one guy in particular told me I didn't have the stones to do this. You know, you're going to choke. I heard, you know, here comes Rory. You know, you're going to choke this. Just stuff like that. And I wasn't overly surprised by it just because I know that, you know, their soccer football culture over there is a lot like our SEC football culture.
Yes.
So they're very passionate, you know, It was a tough environment, but I tried to treat it kind of like a road game, you know, hostile environment, and I knew that if I could withstand the onslaught, you know, at some point, like, this is just going to be about the golf, and it's going to be about my execution, and that's all that matters.
But did it kind of snap you into a little bit more focus, or what? From that third
round.
Well,
if they wanted me to play worse, they should have been really nice to me. I'll say that.
I like it.
They've been killing me with kindness.
I like it. Brian Harmon here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's talk about fans of yours, and one of whom I am a fan of and have been for a long time and was. He is now dearly departed. Norm MacDonald, the comedian, a few years ago, Brian, tweeted about you. And about how golf announcers frequently always have to talk about you mentioning your height. Have you noticed commentators cannot talk about Brian Harmon overdue to win, he wrote parenthetically, without mentioning height? And then you wrote back, not every day that a comedy legend sticks up for you. Thanks, Norm. And then Norm, a couple of days later, I guess, finally saw that because he tweeted about golf all the time. Like, he was live tweeting golf nonstop. And then he responded to you saying he loves watching you. You have it all. You can hit it a mile, feather it around the greens. But what will win your majors? The Masters likely being your first is your easy perfection with the blade. Respect. He called you winning a major.
Yeah.
Brian.
So cool. So my wife and I are huge stand-up comedian fans. Whenever we find ourselves in New York, we always hit up the Comedy Cellar. We're always around the Village Under. I mean, we love it. We go to several comedy shows every year. So I knew Norm MacDonald through his work and was very appreciative of his work. I didn't know he was a golf fan until someone pointed out, like, hey, man, like, yeah, Norm MacDonald's sticking up for you. You know, I think he was getting after a guy, this Robert Dameron, that was announcing.
Yep.
And he was like, man, why are you guys always bringing up this guy's height? What's he got to do? And it's like, damn, thanks, bud. I appreciate that. It is annoying. Like it's an odd it doesn't happen as much in other sports. You know, you hear about Altuve, but they never be like, well, 5'6", shortstop Altuve. It's just, Altuve the shortstop. It's just, it's an odd dynamic that we have. But I certainly appreciated that. I appreciate Norm, and I know a lot of people have found a lot of his comedy after his passing. But man, what a genius that guy was.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Well, now you're open champion, Brian Harmon, so it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, that's how you're measured by
5'7" open champion.
No, that's I'll just leave it at open champion. So now that you've won the open, have the Saudis called you now, Brian? Have they reached out to you now? No.
No, I haven't heard from them. I'm so happy. I play golf for the trophies. I don't like that golf has been fractured. I hope that we can, figure this thing out and all get back together. It's very nuanced. It's very intricate. It's very, very complicated. What bums me out is that going forward, there are going to be, and every time there's a negotiation or any sort, there's always going to be winners and there's always going to be losers. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that through all this, that more people win than lose, and that's my hope.
So, did the LIV Tour ever reach out to you at any point in time?
No,
never did.
No, I never talked to him.
And then
we're
always wondering in the media, how it plays amongst the players. Do you guys talk about it, like quiet moments in the locker room, or out and about, or on the range, or just never at all?
Yeah. I mean, it was it's been the most dominating story in golf for the last couple of years. So yeah, I mean, I've spoken with countless tour players and countless LIV players. I played about 6 holes with Brooks Koepka last week, and everyone's got a different take and a different mindset about it. There's guys that turned down lots of money. There's guys that left. There's guys that stayed. And everyone's got their own unique viewpoint on it. So I just think it's really important to just respect everyone's, opinion. And, I've just tried to listen to everybody's opinions. I've got my own opinions, but I'm just trying to be as open-minded and hear everybody out as best I can.
Brian Harmon here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so is it safe to assume you are a Georgia Bulldog fan, Brian?
University of Georgia. Okay. Class 2009, yes, sir.
Okay, so what do you think about a possible three-peat here? Brian, what are you thinking? What do you got?
I think they've got the team for it. I think it'll just come down to whether they can find these last two teams have been blessed with some upperclassmen that were incredible leaders that you're almost, real coaches on the field. There was a lot of accountability, and I think that's just attests to the way Kirby Smart builds the team. And I think history is the best, predictor of the future. And if he can get those guys to play and buy in like they've done the last couple of years, who knows? You could have some special team somewhere that just comes out of nowhere, has a perfect concoction of players. But I can assuredly say that Georgia will be a handful for whoever they play.
No, I mean, they always are. There's no doubt about it. I mean, does it make you a Philadelphia Eagle fan now, since that's the path now? I mean, for them?
Yeah, I love the. I grew up a Falcons fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say more of a college fan but I've got ties to a lot of teams now. All the Dogs are playing at Philly, and then my wife's from up here at Syracuse. So, kind of a Buffalo Bills kind of sneaky fan by proxy. I love their passion. I love the way that they get after it. So, I'm more of a casual NFL fan. I watch a lot of games, but I guess my team loyalty is kind of up in the air. I've got a few teams I pull on.
Okay, beautiful. Hey, Brian, I think the reason why your championship has captured so many people is you just strike me as just a regular dude who's really good at golf. And I think a lot of people feel that way and was thrilled to watch you go out there and crush it and have your moment and hope that there's more to come. Like Norm Macdonald used the word majors, plural. I hope that for you, truly. So
yeah,
congrats.
Let's just roll with that. Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely. And, let's not do this check bag thing anymore. You know what I mean? Like that's the goal, I think. No more check bags.
Why are you so nervous, man? I wasn't nervous. I figured it'd get there. It's in a nondescript bag. I mean, you would have to go through every bag to find it.
Okay. All right. I'm glad. And so
it's
I guess
not, it's not like it's got like a big sign that says claret jug.
One of the most valuable pieces of I guess silver in the history of sports is right in there. So, and your name's on it. Congratulations. It must be a mind-blowing thing to see your name etched in it with something you know, as old as you just described. It's pretty cool, man. Congrats.
Man, thank you so much. I appreciate y'all having me. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. Let's do this more often. Thank you, Brian Harmon. We'll be in touch. Congrats.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet. That's Brian Harmon, Open champion, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How about that?
I mean, he's not
checking that thing, man. I'll check the box, but I'll take the jug out. I'll say, you know, fill it up. But his wife is looking in there and go, wait a minute.
Yeah, you got to clean up.
That's a cobweb from when Sam Snead was.
Sam Snead. But alcohol clean most of the, you know.
I'm sure you, no, I'm not saying that you can't clean it, but.
You know, that's fine. It's nothing a shot of Jack couldn't, you know.
No. Blowing the Ray Floyd cobwebs out of it. I don't know. I don't know if they won the Open. I have no idea.
Rich, I'm sitting there listening to it thinking that dude could go on and do like a one-man show.
That's
He's
funny.
A great, funny storyteller.
Dude, just standing there at the, you know, we used to play the bag game.
Oh, always. That, yeah.
Oh, the bag game.
When we were doing Thursday night.
Thursday football was amazing.
You put in a bean. You know, like you got about like $8 right there. Oh, and whoever's bag came out first.
Oh, it was the best.
And people were like, but, you know, you flew first class. So they got that tag. It means nothing.
Nope.
Means nothing. Priority tag.
Nope, I've won that like two or three times. People thought I was fixing it.
That was me, Brockman, and Feller when we were coming home from the Emmys at LAX. Just like, all right, whose bag's coming out first?
Did you do it? Best.
We said we were going to bet money, but you know we did.
The priority bagging changed that a little, Rich. Priority bagging. My
that doesn't
United,
mean anything.
No,
it means jack nothing.
I come out quick.
Well,
no. But just think, your heart's beating.
Yeah, you're waiting.
You're sweating. Yeah. You're just waiting.
The claret jug's in there.
You know what I mean? And it's just like,
the claret jug,
wait a minute. I'm carrying it on plane.
Hold on a minute. So you said he flew from Manchester to Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
So that's one
flight. But he said that was like the smaller.
Hold on a second. So that's two conveyor belts it went on. It went on a conveyor belt to get in the plane and then off the plane.
Okay, good point.
And then a third conveyor belt to get on the plane to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fourth conveyor belt to come off.
Yeah.
And then a fifth conveyor belt to get on from Detroit to Syracuse.
Yeah, you got a margin of error coming. Like, there's a lot of, yeah.
That's a six shot hole.
Yeah.
That's a double bogey.
There's a great chance that you've never seen that.
You may never see it.
That was the last time he'd taken six shots in one single hole.
I wouldn't. That thing's coming with me. That's sitting between my legs.
Well, you know, you could check the box.
The box.
But I'm taking the jug out.
You lose a box. Who cares? That thing's sitting right in between my legs, right here.
But I guess that's why he's got the cool of like standing over a putt.
Oof.
I'll jar it. I don't care. I'll just check the jug.
Check the jug.
Check the jug.
That's why I told him no more check baggage. You know what that means? The three most beautiful letters in aviation, FBO. Yeah, I mean, if Phil had won and he wasn't checking bags through Amsterdam to Detroit to Syracuse.
No. NetJets.
He's just hopping on the Flying J or whatever the hell it's called he's doing right now with his capes.
And also, wasn't he?
And he's flying straight in.
At 36, isn't he like the oldest golfer to win his first major? Was that?
I don't know. You've got the Google machine right there.
I believe that was the case, but man, he was...
There you go.
That was a funny interview, man.
That was fun.
He's a funny guy.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll set up shop for our friend Mike Florio coming up. In between, I've got mail from Mike Del Tufo. Wait till you see what we're opening up live next.
I can't wait for this.
On the Rich Eisen Show. Give me your favorite story, whether it involves Rodney Dangerfield or Ted Knight, who I think is a comic genius. Anything that was ad-libbed with Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, obviously. Give me your favorite story.
You know, Bill was just taking off. He had just booked Saturday Night Live. Meatballs was in the can. It wasn't even out yet. It was only his second film. None of his dialogue was written. So when he showed up and he did that Cinderella story about winning the Masters.
Come on.
Or looping for the Dalai Lama, they wrote that. He wrote it with Harold's kind of, you know, help editing right there on the spot, you know. So his genius was evident even back then. Chevy had already done Fletch, which I loved. And I also saw him do National Lampoon's Lemmings down in the East Village, or the West Village, when I was a kid, which was an amazing knockoff of Woodstock that National Lampoon did. Ted, like you, I was a huge fan of his from Mary Tyler Moore. And Rodney Dangerfield was my dad's favorite comedian. We used to watch him on Ed Sullivan. First day on the set, I go and I say hi to Rodney, and I smile and say hello, and he goes, "Oh, kid, your teeth are terrible. My nephew's a dentist. Maybe I can set you up and he can help you out." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks, Rodney. That's great. Let's go on camera together." So he kind of reads me and he goes, "Ah, don't worry about it." He goes, "Florida, huh? It's like a sauna with gnats."
Always on.
Always on. Anything else ad-libbed from you or from
You know, that famous, you know, "Do you do drugs, Danny, every day?" That was a, you know, that's made it onto a few t-shirts. That was definitely an ad-lib.
Okay.
Most of Chevy's, like when Chevy did that knockoff of the $6 million man sound when he was making all those putts.
Yep.
I didn't even know what he was going to do until he started doing it. So I just, you know, it was all I could do to keep a straight face.
Happy 43rd anniversary to Caddyshack. 43 years ago today in 1980. Wow. In theaters near you. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Caddyshack turns 43 today.
If I had a dollar for every time I've watched that movie.
That movie is like...
Man. When was the last time you've seen Caddyshack?
Within the last month for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Couple years.
Oh, it's been
even
a while.
The last couple years. Yeah.
I probably watch Caddyshack 4 times a year, minimum.
It's a remote drop. It's one of, yeah.
It holds up. You know, there are some scenes that drag a little bit. You know, the moments with Lacey Underalls,
her moments do not drag.
They those were, I remember 1980. I was 11.
Okay.
At this date, I was 11 years old in 1980. Okay. Like, and I just remember the first time I saw her on screen, I'm like, this is the greatest movie ever. How am I going to get to see it? And I finally got to see it. I don't remember the first time I saw it. It's probably like on Wometco, WHT, the movie network.
Old school, yeah.
The box, you'd flip a switch and you'd get to see their...
We had HBO, and then Wometco was the second one, WHT. Right.
So you seemed like you were going to say you were disappointed once you.
No. But I a lot of the jokes as an 11-year-old went straight over my head.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, like the Bill Murray. I thought was just weird, and then I, you know, grew up and started to get the humor of it.
Start imitating. You know,
you'll get. And then honestly, my I loved Rodney Dangerfield, mm-hmm. and. He was my favorite character until later in life, and the number of times I've watched it over and over and over again. Ted Knight as Judge Smales just steals the movie. The world needs ditch diggers too. Like all of his lines.
I want a cheeseburger.
You'll get nothing in life.
Nothing like it.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. I mean, all of it. Danny, do you stand for goodness? Or badness. I like to come all night on. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of it. He is the best character in that movie. Hands
I like Rodney.
Down.
Rodney's my guy. I love Rodney.
When he's asking Ty what he shot, he goes, "I don't keep score." Well, how do you judge yourself against other golfers?
By height. So, you know, it stands up. It stands up.
Would you like to come over and mow my lawn?
43 years ago today. Oh. And check out our YouTube page. We just showed in our Roku channel only segment. Michael O'Keefe came on during the pandemic, and he plays Danny Noonan.
I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas.
Exactly. Just, oh my gosh.
I want to do it. I felt I owed it to them.
Oh, my gosh. Truly unbelievable.
Incredible movie.
And him and Rodney Dangerfield, like, anytime those two are just going at it, it's just classic.
Written by Harold Ramis as well, who folks will definitely know by face from Ghostbusters. You know. Look what I have here, everybody, in my hand. I'll cover it up. It is. I can confirm. Mike Del Tufo's home address from here. You handed it to me unopened.
Unopened, Rich.
No date by which you received this.
It's Bat's been a little.
But what it is your shareholders missive from the Green Bay Packers. Seize your ownership. Lock in your vote. So I guess you're voting for the board of directors. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm opening it now on the air. Yep. And for those on the radio, you can hear. I literally just opened it, and I have opened it, and
see, I told you, it's got letter comes with it. It's like,
oh yeah, it's a ballot. Okay, also it is a letter from dated June 2023, dear shareholders. It's from Mark H. Murphy. Just saying, looking forward to hosting you, Mike.
I'm invited. I can go.
Yesterday, Monday, July 4th at Lambeau Field, the meeting will take place rain or shine. We know not every one of our nearly 540,000 shareholders.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
540,000.
That's a small group.
It's not a small group. That's an insane amount. And how much money did you spend on your membership?
Why do I think they were $250 apiece?
Dude, do the math.
$250.
Do the math.
Well,
don't you
twice.
Think every NFL team, if they could do this, would do this?
Oh, yeah. They paid for the stadium.
Can you just do the math for me? What 250 times 540 is?
Let's see.
That's what the Packers are making off of.
Well, they did it to renovate twice.
Twice. And you.
Yeah, I mean.
You're not even a Packer fan.
540,000
fans. No, I'm not a Packer fan, but to me, it was a piece of football.
540,000 times 250.
My calculator just went to E. Like, okay. Like 3.37?
I mean, that's a nice chunk of change. That's like what? You know, but no, I think it's more than that, dude.
Well, yeah, 540,000 times, and you said $250.
It's called a calculator.
Mike? Hang on, I'm doing it, Rich.
135
million.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. And here you are, date and place and time, and voting by proxy, which you didn't do.
No, I know, I don't.
You're out. You didn't even your voice. You didn't even count. That's what they love about you. You give them your 250, and then you don't do anything. You don't show up. They don't have to feed you.
Well, wait a minute. You had more than one share, so no, you paid 500 at least? Or?
Yeah.
Well, actually, you had three, so you paid.
No, I had two. I never got the third one. I didn't get the new one.
So you paid 500. No, you don't even know. By the way, one of the nominees for the election of directors is Leroy Butler, who's, by the way, his occupation spokesman, Kroger / Pick and Save. He's definitely come up with some picks, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just looking at this list here, continuing directors, there's a whole bunch of people. Oh, other matters to be acted upon at the meeting.
Yeah, they have like a whole agenda they give you.
Oh, my goodness, Mike. And you missed it.
Man, what kind of team
if they had all you could eat cheese curds, I'd go. You know, they probably do.
You wouldn't go. You don't care.
Leroy Butler's bio should just say Hall of Fame.
And then here's just the ballot that doesn't mean anything. I'm holding a ballot. You
missed the date, Mike?
He did. He didn't even.
Yeah, it's like I you could even was when I was busy,
you could even phone like, in your vote.
Oh, you have no excuse.
You're the king of phoning it in.
Yeah.
So this is what it is, folks. When you're wondering what is it like to be a shareholder of the Green Bay Packers, they send you this.
And you ignore it if you're Mike.
And then you just leave it sitting there by your Olaf mugs and don't even go. Like, oh, wait a minute. There's this right here. Here's your tickets. You get four tickets. Nothing.
Is this how you treat your local election?
Yeah, look at this.
No, I vote.
Thank you for being a Green Bay Packers shareholder! You don't do anything for them.
Nothing.
Except give them your money.
I did it for football. It's a piece of history.
So you people come to your house and go, look, I've got a Packers.
I got that thing framed. It's on the wall. It's
do you really have it framed?
Yes.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Back in your home office?
In the home office.
Will you bring it here?
I'll bring it in.
You don't invite anybody over anyway. So how would anybody know?
I'll bring it in. Then
bring it in here. We'll have it
hanging up.
I think it's better to be here than your home, if you don't mind. I mean, you're here a lot.
Yeah, it's a cool piece of because it says the amount I paid.
Yeah,
it has the price.
We
it
have
has
a Packer fan in studio, you know, actor, actress, whatever.
Sign it. Like,
sign it. It'll be just great, take a look at it, and they'll be like, "Oh, cool," and then hand it back to me.
There's 540,000.
What do you get for it? You get an annual invitation to something you don't go to. In an envelope you don't open.
Yeah.
Well done. And the Packers cash your check. Well done, Mike.
Unreal.
But would you like this back or should I just throw it out?
No. I'll take it.
Well, they pay for the. By the way, they pay for the.
He had no excuse.
You don't even have to stamp it.
You don't even have to stamp it. Just open it. Put pen to paper.
I was busy when it came to my hand. I forgot.
No, you guys.
I normally send them back.
No, you don't.
I bet you.
Hold on.
Richie's never sent one back.
The first year I got it. I don't know how many years ago.
She stopped voting.
This is suspect.
I did it once.
This whole story is suspect.
I did do it once.
Way back when Eddie Lacy was running free
his
Packers.
Brett Favre was definitely running.
When was the last time? When did you become a shareholder?
When did the first time they sold them? Like within the last.
You don't even know. You don't even know how long you've been a shareholder.
It doesn't say shareholder.
By the way, it doesn't say how long you've
like
been a shareholder.
Express, they don't even keep
track. The only thing they keep track of is your cash.
I gave one of them to a friend.
Here's a hint. Don Majkowski was still quarterback when Mike bought in.
So you don't have to. You don't have to renew every year. It's a one time.
No, one time, one and done.
Okay, all right. So there you go.
But it's a cool piece of like memorabilia.
I shouldn't say no greater because obviously people are biased. One of the most internationally known brands.
Yeah,
if you will, market team. The Green Bay Packers. World known, world renowned. You've got something on the wall. That's great.
Airport.
We got a part owner.
I just wish you would treat your membership responsibilities a little bit more stringently.
Spall can get your foot off the boat.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Collision has been struggling a little bit out of the gate with these ticket sales.
This was a major show announced on a major network with what everybody thought was this huge star, CM Punk. I said he was going to be the biggest financial flop in wrestling history, and I think I'm being proven right every minute of the day.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.